Australian female biographer writes Navajo medicine man. Presentation at Lake Knight College, Canberra, International Women's Day 2017. I'll begin by acknowledging the first people of the lands of the ACT. The spirit of Elroy Navajo medicine man who is here with us tonight, and all women and men who aspire to find their voice. This invitation to speak about the writing of the story behind the story, Biography of a Navajo Medicine Man, on International Women's Day, invites reflection on the markedly divergent sectionalities of identity engendered by myself as author-biographer and Elroy Begay, Navajo medicine man, as storyholder and teller. It invites comment on the way the differences of gender, race, culture, tradition and medicine presented themselves throughout our process of the biography. The title may also assume a friction or disruption, or at least an uneasy relationship, something to be manoeuvred, managed or negotiated. I will say upfront and clearly that that was not our reality. Identity, gender or cultural politics just simply did not figure. I will therefore share some of the realities of what did figure in the writing of this biography. In 2010, I unexpectedly met Elroy Begay, a Navajo medicine man in Arizona. Even more unexpectedly, he asked me to write his life in medicine. He told me he wanted it preserved and for it to bring hope and pride for his people. That was his inspiration. Mine was to give that a voice. How my meeting with Elroy came about. In his voice. In the 1960s, I lived at Bamboo Springs in Chinle, Arizona, on the Red Mesa Slope in my hogan. I played with my 12 sisters and brothers, our sheep, goats and the stones, and was named Elroy in the Cradle Boy forever, because this was how my family saw me. I was in a wheelchair. At the same time, there was a girl playing with her brother in a bamboo garden in Tarragindi, Australia. They played cowboys and Indians, and somehow, as her story goes, she was always the Indian. We both grew in the stages of growing to groan, I on the North Star Hemisphere of Earth, and she on the Southern Cross Star Hemisphere of Earth. I overcame much and took my calling as medicine man and peyote roadman, all the while having instruction from my mother Lucy, herb medicine woman. She had always said that the origin story of our people was to be written from someone from far away. Our story had never been written. So even when people from our own country offered money for our story, I waited. The girl became a Western Eastern health practitioner and writer, and in 2010 was in America on her first book tour. She had set her mind and heart on going to Monument Valley, so asked around for someone who could guide her through the region. This led her to Tom Golick, who unbeknownst to her was a friend of mine. One day, as they were trekking under the desert sky, Tom said, "Would you like to meet my friend Elroy? He's a medicine man." He only had to look at the girl's face to get the answer. So they turned up at my house. And after small talk and welcome blessings, I told the girl, "I've been waiting for you. My mother told me way, way back The person who will write your story will come from far away. I will call you Bamboo Girl. Let's begin. This spiritual synchronicity of meeting is the first thing that matters. Crucially, his asking me was honoring the ancestral guidance from his mother, Lucy Herb Medicine Woman, for the sensitivities of a woman to write their story. The voice that calls, or the calling in my experience, is stronger and more listened to in Aboriginal cultures. My answering yes was about responding to that call with my Indigenous spirit. So what matters to me figures hugely in my yes. My catchphrase is speaking, writing, moving, truths, stories, voices. And this has driven my career and life choices. In my career, whether I've worked as a speech pathologist, a yoga practitioner, an author biographer, or a teacher of writing, it has always been about assisting those who aspire to find their voice. Within this, one of my greatest inspirations has been the resilience and healing traditions of Indigenous peoples. And one of my greatest concerns is that this time-honored knowledge will not be preserved, listened to, or included in non-Indigenous ways of looking. My intention as the story crafter, and the intention given to me by Elroy, the storyteller, was to preserve the story, to tell it in Elroy's voice, to write reflections of my writing experience, to achieve this by learning and researching relevant cultural, historical, and familial information, and to feel intensely the experience of the other, so I might find and flow the words. That is the job and some of the tasks of a biographer, regardless of gender. To draw on, I had my professional and personal experiences from Western and Eastern medicine with Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples, male and female. I had also been involved in two profound learning events specifically relevant to crafting a cross-cultural medicine biography. One was a research project set within a New South Wales Aboriginal community. It utilised qualitative experiential research methods, including story, to come up with a health service that might work in this Aboriginal community. The second was as an educator of medical, nursing and allied health students with the Centre for Rural Health, University of Western Australia, based in the Midwest and the Pilbara. The students would come for rural clinical placement. One of my roles was, with the assistance of Aboriginal elders and teachers, to impart ways to deliver healthcare within Aboriginal communities. In both these contexts, my view of a way to get there became through knowledge of Aboriginal medicine, and by being respectful and inclusive of traditional ways. This, in fact, led me to my next book, One Voice Medicine. So, I had some knowledge, exposure, experiences of being embraced by Aboriginal people, both men and women, traditional healers, and a strong resonance to bring to Elroy's story. Perhaps it was these aspects of me that I carry that somehow had been transposed in me, which Elroy, as a medicine man, saw. Definitely, it was the instruction from Elroy's ancestors that a woman from far away was to write their story. Of course, I was also lured to say yes to this story by Elroy being a medicine man who lives between humanity and divinity, by the story being about the complexities and struggles that lie within each and every one of us, and our longing to live peacefully with them. Because our world is full of cultures and nations struggling to live peacefully together, so now more than ever, Elroy's matchless message of acceptance needs to be heard. Of course, there was also Elroy's human condition that truly inspired me, that as a paraplegic, he moves between two worlds of health traditions, that as he is married to a white non-Navajo New Yorker, he lives between two cultures. I hope I have somewhat addressed the inherent sectionality type questions and assumptions of the presentation title and its seeming attempt to place this biography within an intellectual academic paradigm. To sum up the writing process of the story behind the story, Elroy and I listened with our hearts to the calling for the book to be written, added an invincible dose of belief, and proceeded with determination, knowledge, and skill. What has been achieved is truly awesome. So let me now tell you some of Elroy's matchless messages in the story behind the story. The message of acceptance that happens through introduction. Elroy's voice. We Navajos introduce ourselves according to the mother's family, and the four clans of our mother, father, maternal grandparents, and paternal grandparents. We believe these people are where our self-image and self-identity come from. Self-image and self-identity make us who we are. That is why we introduce ourselves through clan. It gives us our relationships and tells others our relationships. Each of the four clans we come from represents one of the four cardinal directions, one of our four sacred mountains, and blesses us with specific qualities. As well, we are given names which describe us. So I am also Cradle Boy, Old Age Baby, and Elroy in the Cradle Forever, my cradle being my wheelchair. Sometimes we are given describing names which refer to animals, because our tradition gives animals human qualities. This reminds us to live respectfully with animals as we depend on them. Multiple names are common for us. My reflection. I was left with this question, which I will put to you. What if we in the West introduced ourselves from our treasure chest of ancestors, rather than by profession, place of work, or residence? What would happen to our sense of family, belonging, roots, community, and acceptance? The message of acceptance that happens through considering traditional medicine practices. Over the 4 years I spent coming and going from Australia to Elroy's reservation in Arizona, I was very blessed with learning so much about his medicine, ceremony, and beliefs, and being invited to many ceremonies where it was appropriate for me to be invited. I'd like to tell you now about one. It's called a blackening ceremony. The ceremony is in a humble house in a back lane. To reach it, we negotiate rocks and sand. I park as close as possible to the steps so Elroy can be carried inside on his wheelchair. By now, Big Chief's son is baking down. The fireplace nurses ashes and smoking stones, ready for ceremony. A lady in her 60s is experiencing acute stomach cramps on a blanket on the floor. She starts to cry as she pours out her situation in Navajo to Medicine Man. She glances at me shyly. I ask her if it is okay if I stay. She nods. There are 14 family members, all sitting in a circle in the cramped, stifling lounge room. A teenager is sprawled on the floor, engrossed with her laptop. Her mother is making sandwiches in the kitchen, and everyone's phones constantly ring. I'm affronted yet again by the seriously unsettling mix of revered healings inside everyday activities. I'd like to digress for a moment, as I've been observing this for quite some time, the mix of the mundane in the sacred, even in ceremonies. So I asked Elroy about it one day. He looked at me very sternly and said, "Don't you go putting your Western standards on my ceremonies. My God's bigger than all of that." So back to the lounge room. After talking consultation, the patient is blackened with cooled ash by her daughter, while the family sing and chant prayers led by Medicine Man. The volume increases, the fervor intensifies, the hot breath of the singers and chanters envelopes me. As I can't sing and pray their way, I simply close my eyes. Then the grandmother is given a bowl of cattail purification mixture to drink, which makes her vomit into a plastic bag next to her. Not a beat of song is missed. Next, grandma is covered with a blanket made up like a tent. Hot stones and steaming herbs from the fireplace are placed inside the blanket tent for her to inhale. She emerges in her own time, glowing with wellness. My reflection. I weigh up enemas, stomach pumping, touch healing, sweat lodges, rebirthing, detoxification diets, and vapor inhalations. I realize it's all the same. All the same. Just different ways and different words. As if Elroy had been following my reflection, he said to me on the way home, a 4-hour drive across the desert into the setting sun I was driving. He said, "Our medicine teaches us how to live and how to be healthy in body, mind, and spirit. Its forms include herbs, singing, praying, ceremony, and communion with our holy people. In these ways, our medicine is inseparable from our beliefs. It helps us to understand the meaning of all beings, all experiences, and all sicknesses, whether of the body, mind, or spirit kind." So sickness is like this. We can't see it, but we can pray so it won't come to us. If it does come, we pray for restoration, give medicine, and conduct ceremony. And when it's gone, we pray in gratitude. Same as in the West, as I see it. We are the same as you. We want to be well. The message of acceptance that happens through considering cross-cultural creation stories. The Navajo creation stories are organized into 5 worlds, each with a lesson. The lesson from the black first world is accept the perfection of creation. The blue second world lesson is about accepting the perfection of yourself. And the yellow third world lesson is about accepting the perfection of all people. The story goes into the white fourth world, where the people did not heed the lessons of the previous worlds. And so Holy Spirit took a decision to destroy his creation through flood. In Navajo philosophy, we are now in the fifth glittering world, still learning the lessons of acceptance. This was one of the most difficult sections of the story to write. It required vast research at places like the Heard Museum in Phoenix, the Klein Museum in Flagstaff, Northern Arizona University, and Navajo College. I'd like to read to you about the Black First World, and then my reflection. In the beginning, where earth now is, was black. There was only blackened gas, and Holy Spirit, who had always been Holy Spirit, decided to make a planet. At the time, he was wearing a white buckskin made from air and water blended into mist. He took this buckskin off and laid it down. From it, he materialized a crystal star like a flattened, pointed coin. Holy Spirit prayerfully placed this crystal star on his buckskin. Then he got busy and built around all sides of the star, patting here and patting there, until the flattened star became a round star. It became like an island star in mist. Holy Spirit kept patting and patting until the round star formed a planet. This is our planet, Earth. Next, he consigned stars to the north and south of Earth, uniting them with a sunbeam, which he gently pulled through the Earth. This was so the stars didn't drift off and get lost in the blackness. And my reflection. I'm left thinking of the similarities between the Navajo world's creation story and the Christian creation story, like both beginning in blackness. And when you read the fourth white world and how Holy Spirit destroyed it through flood, and the animals and beings escaped up a bamboo pole, surely this description is comparable to Noah's Ark, that flood, and those animals, two from each kind, being saved. So I put to you, it's all the same, all the same. I'll finish with Elroy's hope message. It's very important for this book to go to non-Indian people, so they see us as they see themselves, because we are all one from Holy Spirit. My hope is that all beings know each other, that the parched earth can replenish with no resistance, and that you, the reader, accept cycles of yourself and the cycles of life. The cycle to accept right now is unity of all mankind. As you hold your book and read from your imagination and your heart, may you have new knowledge and many wonderful insight moments, leading to your own Ajna Chin. the only Navajo word I mastered, meaning acceptance. These are the things that figure in the writing of Elroy's biography, the story behind the story. Thank you.